Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your teacher and host, Eddie Hyatt, and we are continuing our study in the New Testament Epistle to the Hebrews. Today, our theme is going to be warning of apostasy. Of course, apostasy refers to departing, leaving the faith. It's not about stopping going to church. It's not referring to someone backsliding. It is talking about a rejection, someone who has known Christ, who has been in the faith, and rejecting it. And there's more than one warning in Hebrews concerning this, but the one we're going to read today, it begins in chapter 10, verse 26. And there are several verses we're going to look at, but let's read the first two verses. The writer says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries." Now, this verse has been a conundrum for many people, but let's remind ourselves of the context in which the writer is writing. He is writing, it says the epistle to the Hebrews, he's writing to Jewish people. It is obvious that many are suffering persecution for their faith, and it's also obvious that many are considering letting go of their faith in Jesus and just going back to their traditional Judaism. Because as I've mentioned before, under the Roman Empire, Jews had a certain level of freedom to carry on their faith. This is why the temple in Jerusalem was fully operational, with the priestly system, the temple itself, all of the sacrifices, the festivals every year, and of course carried on under the eye of the Romans. But they had the freedom to do that. Now, as Christianity became obvious that it was something more than Judaism and spread outside of Israel into the cities of the Roman Empire, and persecution broke out against these Christians, these Jewish believers in their Messiah also came under this persecution, the same persecution, because they were lumped in with the Gentile Christians, because their commonality was their faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Lord. And so for many, there was a temptation to just let go of that part of their faith and go back to just continue practicing their Judaism apart from Jesus. And so that is why there are in more than one place, there are warnings against doing this. Also, we see here how the writer is contrasting the old covenant with the new covenant. He's contrasting Jesus with angels and with Moses, and showing how Jesus is so far greater and superior than all of these, contrasting the sacrifice of Jesus with the Old Testament sacrifices and showing how it is so far superior to any of these, and how we have a better covenant built on better promises. And so just before he makes this statement, and we talked about this in the last episode, he talked about how that Jesus offered up one sacrifice for sins forever. This is in verse 12. This is worth looking at again. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." In other words, the sin problem was dealt with. We don't have a sin problem in the world. We have a sinner problem. There's nothing else that can be done to deal with sin. It has been dealt with by one offering, by the ultimate sacrifice of God Himself, and offered up one time for sins forever. So what we have today is a sinner problem. We need to call sinners to Christ, to come to Him, because only He can bring forgiveness and power over sin. So he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and he sat down at the right hand of God. So this verse 26 has to be understood within the context of this. He says, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the truth of the knowledge, the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Now, there's something I want to point out about this word willfully. I looked this word up in the Greek interlinear and the Greek lexicon, and it is the Greek word ekousios, and it means voluntarily, willingly, of one's own accord. In other words, it's not a sin because of ignorance or weakness. Not a sin because of ignorance or weakness. It's not a sin that somebody yielded to temptation reluctantly. No, it is voluntarily, willingly, of one's own accord. I think that's why the NIV translates it like this. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth. So this is speaking of someone who has turned away from Christ and is deliberately, voluntarily, willingly continuing on in their lifestyle of sin. And they're not turning to Jesus. And what he's saying here is, if you turn away from Christ, there is no other offering for sin. And he has already shown that those Old Testament sacrifices cannot take away sin. So if you turn away from Christ and you keep on sinning, there is no hope for you because he has offered up one sacrifice for sins forever. So he is talking about an apostate, someone who turns away from Christ. Now, let's keep reading. He says, verse 28, now he's going to compare this person to someone who rejected the law of Moses. He's continually comparing the new covenant with the old covenant. Jesus with Moses, or Jesus with angels, or the sacrifice of Jesus with the sacrifices of the Old Testament. And he's going to make this comparison again. Verse 28, he says, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Anyone who willfully, voluntarily, willingly, arrogantly violated the law of Moses, he points out they were put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. So if this was what was done on this lesser covenant, verse 28 says, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy? Will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Wow. Yeah, he's talking about apostasy. He's warning about somebody turning from Christ and saying, no, I don't need that. I don't need the blood of Jesus. I don't need his sacrifice. I'm good with my religion. I believe my religion is good enough. My friends, there is no religion that will save anybody. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. The Christian religion will not save anyone. When I say the Christian religion, I mean just accepting the outward forms and mentally assenting to the outward forms and doctrines will not save you. There must be true heart repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And so he warns, verse 29, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Wow, what an incredible passage of scripture. And again, this is not talking to someone who falls into temptation, who makes a mistake, who sins, and their heart is broken about it, and they're disturbed and they're concerned. I remember I was preaching, and I'll close with this little story. I was preaching in a church in Ontario, Canada, and I just felt drawn to one side of the congregation, and I felt that there was somebody there who felt they had committed the unpardonable sin, and they were living in consternation and fear that they had committed the unpardonable sin. And I spoke this out, and immediately there was a young man that got up, and he came up on the platform. One thing I remember, I assured him, the fact that you are concerned is a definite sign that you have not committed the unpardonable sin. The fact that you are here tonight and that you're looking to God and you're concerned and you're grieved about your sin, that is a sign that you haven't. You see, the devil will take scriptures like these and try to beat especially young Christians over the head and tell them they've gone too far, that they've sinned away their day of grace, they've committed the unpardonable sin, and try to put them in a hopeless state so they will just give up and turn away and go back to their old life. No, my friends, reject that lie of Satan. Understand the context in which this was written and run to Jesus. Keep running to him. No matter how you mess up, no matter how you fail, keep running back to Jesus. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And I'm Eddie Hyatt, and I hope you'll check out my website at eddiehyatt.com. A lot of resources there that will be a blessing to you and help you. And if you would like to make contact with me, contact information is there. You're welcome to send me an email. It's right there on the homepage. You're welcome to friend me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and I'll look forward to seeing you next week. I'm sorry, this is Monday. I'll see you tomorrow. Amen. God bless.